Hello and welcome back to the podcast, Discipleship in Challenging Times. My name is Peter Morden and I'm team leader at Cornerstone Baptist Church, Leeds. We look now at James chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. And I'm using the title that's in the New International Version of the Bible that's in front of me, Taming the Tongue. We pray together. Lord, we ask for your presence and your help. We pray that you would teach us by your life-giving word, and that we would know your transforming power. Help us, as James has already said, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. So James chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what they say, they are a perfect person, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of their lives on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by people. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Well, there's a challenge here, isn't there? A challenge to use our words well. Often we waste our words. A while ago, this memo was going round a number of government departments, or certainly something like it. The Lord's Prayer, 56 words. Psalm 23, 118 words. The Gettysburg Address, 226 words. The Ten Commandments, 297 words. The United States State Department of Agriculture, Order on the Price of Cabbage, 15,629 words. There is just a little bit of doubt, I understand, that the order was quite that long, but nevertheless, it does illustrate something. We use our words indiscriminately. We often waste our words, and we often use our words poorly. Indeed, in the space of a few words, we can mess up. And we see that here in James chapter 3. The tongue is very important. the old English proverb, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Actually, that is profoundly untrue. Words can be deeply hurtful. Racist words. Words that are said by hatred, by men against women. Words that are uncaring, unfeeling, unhelpful. Words that tear down instead of building up. We say these words, and we need to repent of the things that we say day by day, because not one of us is perfect in these things. Words can be damaging, but words can also be used to build up. Words of encouragement are really important. Yes, we need to hear words of challenge, but as disciples of the Lord Jesus, we perhaps reflect on the example of Barnabas in the book of Acts, who was always such an encouraging person, so much so that it became part of his name. He gave liberally to those who were in need. He gave John Mark the benefit of the doubt in missionary enterprise. Again and again, Barnabas was an encourager. We need encouragement today. And one of the challenges can be to be people who say words of encouragement. Perhaps to make it our business to say at least one encouraging thing, perhaps an email, perhaps a text, perhaps a personal word, to say something encouraging, something that is not just general and bland, but is very specific and concrete to someone that we know. Let's use our words positively. Let's use our words, as I've said, to build up rather than tear down. We see that our supreme example in this is the Lord Jesus, who, even as he hung on the cross, had words of grace for the thief who was beside him, words of forgiveness, words of grace to his mother. Jesus thought of others and used his words in a perfect and pure way. How can we live up to that example? Well, this is the challenge, isn't it? And it takes us to the heart of the matter, because we want, if we're Christians, to use our words well, but we know that we often fail. But here in James, we see the answer. Not only is there grace when we fail, but by being deeply rooted in God and flowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say good words rather than bad. James speaks of this in the closing verses of our reading, verses 11 and 12. Fresh water and salt water cannot flow from the same spring. If we spend time with God, if we develop our relationship with him, if we read his word, as if we reflect on it, if we flow with his power and his strength and his wisdom and his grace, then the spring that wells up within us will be good. But if we go our own way, if we wander from the Christian path, if we neglect the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading and corporate worship, if we don't truly engage with God day by day, practicing his presence, then the spring that is within us will be bad. At the end of the day, we can only say good words if what is within us is bad for a short time. It will just be a veneer, and in fact will be like the Pharisees, white on the outside, but like whitewashed tombs, all messed up on the inside. Rather, let's have that spring flowing within us, God's power, God's strength, God's help, so that what flows out from us will be good words rather than bad. We pray together. Lord, we ask very simply today that you would help us to be those who speak good words, who follow the teaching of your word here in James, and who follow the example of the Lord Jesus, who even on the cross had words of compassion and grace, who thought of others rather than himself. We recognise that we can only do this if the spring within us is good. We pray that you would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit today, and that we would know your living water flowing into our lives and flowing through us, flowing, as it were, out of our mouths in good words. And Lord, as we think of others this morning and we think of this example of Jesus, we pray not only for ourselves but also for our Christian brothers and sisters, that they too might grow in grace. And we pray for friends and family and colleagues and other loved ones. We ask that you would be with them today, that you would meet their needs, and Lord, perhaps that you would use us to meet their needs. We're very mindful of the book of James being so practical and so real, and we want to keep our prayers real. As we pray today for friends and family, Lord, perhaps you're asking us to be the answer to a particular prayer. Show us where that is the case, and help us to be people not only of prayer and not only of word, but also of deed. So, Lord, we lift our prayers to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.